making our way through these laws given to the Israelite judges in Exodus chapters 21, 22, 23. Here we come to verses 16 and 17 of Exodus chapter 22. And after talking a lot about oxen and sheep and restitution and all this, now we come to something that's, well, grabs our interest, doesn't it?
Right, definitely.
Okay, so when do you guys read it?
So here we go. Verse 16, chapter 22, Exodus. If a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely pay the bride price for her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the bride price of virgins.
Wow. Now we get into sex and money and the whole thing here. You know, it's suddenly spiced up here a bit. All right. Well, first of all, verse 16, if a man entices a virgin who's not betrothed. Now, it's very interesting. There are some people who say that this law doesn't prohibit premarital sex. It's like, oh, it's fine with God if this couple has premarital sex. But did you notice, what's the penalty behind having premarital sex here?
Make her your wife.
Yes. Or at the very least, pay the bride price. Yeah. Again, it's so hard for us to grasp on to the import of these laws and sort of their context in ancient culture, because we don't live in a dowry-giving culture. But you know what sometimes you talk about sometimes a substitute of a dowry today, an engagement ring.
Right.
But what's a nice engagement ring cost these days?
Ooh, a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah.
At least a couple,
thousand dollars. You know, let's say it's a nice one. Let's say $5,000. Well, how about this? I find out that some young man has had sex with my virgin daughter. She's not married. It's, well, either you have to pay the bride price. You got to come up with a $5,000 ring for her, and I get to decide whether or not you actually get married.
Yeah.
But no matter what, Mr., you know,
you got to pay the price.
Yeah, you got to pay a hefty price.
Yeah.
The dowry was no small thing, and so this was a very strong curb to the passions of a young man who thought that he could just have some casual sex by enticing a young woman, you know, into a sexual relationship. And it really goes against the idea that's common in society, just sort of a casual sex.
Right. Well, it really points to God's value of virginity.
Yes.
Today, it's not very valued. And I mean, it's not something that people hold in high esteem.
Yeah.
And it's almost celebrated when they give it up.
Yeah,
and
how fast can I give it away? I got to get rid of this virginity. I got to get it out of here.
Right.
I got to change my status here.
Right, but God really puts a high price on it, really values it. And it's not just a casual thing, like you were saying. It's just not casually given away.
That's right.
But to really hold on to it and grasp it closely.
And you know, it's really strange. I mean, I'm a little bit older than you guys, and so I speak from it, even from a generation, and even my generation. I'm kind of thinking back mentally to prior generations than mine, when at least more so, certainly not perfectly, but at least more so, the idea that that sex meant something. That it wasn't just these, you know, meaningless hookups with people. That it actually had a meaning between a husband and a wife in the context that God had established. And to me, I just find it so amazing that somehow, a new culture, a new generation thinks they've gained something by debasing the value, the importance of sex to virtually a meaningless act that feels good.
Well, they've made it very selfish.
Yeah.
It's more about what I can receive from this. It's more about me. I mean, this really speaks to just the unselfishness. I mean, you're actually doing harm to the other person.
Right.
You know, it's a very unselfish way of looking at it, man. If you're going to violate a virgin, you have to pay up for it.
And significantly.
Right. But now in this culture, it's a very selfish thing. It's more about what I can get from it, how I can be fulfilled, and not really thinking of the other person.
But, you know, even that selfishness is so unwise and short-sighted, because study after study proves that people that follow God's plan for marriage and family and sexuality, they're more fulfilled. They have more pleasure from these things in life. So even that initial drive for just selfish pleasure is extremely short-sighted and in the end, counterproductive.
Yeah. And there's lasting consequences.
That's right.
I mean, you have the verse there in 1 Corinthians.
I mean, I was going to say, 1 Corinthians, Chapter 6, verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh.
Well, so even a man who has relations with a prostitute, there is some joining together in the eyes of God that surely he would regret. It's not a good thing. It's more of a curse than a blessing in his life, despite whatever momentary pleasure there might have been from it. Mm.
What's interesting, you mentioned also, we see in verse 17, is not only does this man who's violated, taken this the virginity from this woman, the father has a right, no matter, he's got to pay the price.
Right.
But the father gets to decide, okay, is this the kind of guy I want my daughter to marry anyway?
Right. Verse 17, let me read it again. Yeah. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay the money according to the bride price of virgins.
I mean, that's... Yeah. Well, so you pay the price no matter what.
Yeah, you know, I don't mean to speak crudely, but you didn't get away with just dinner and a movie.
Right. Yeah.
You know, this is $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 that you owe to recompense, because that young woman's virginity has value. It means something. It's not meaningless despite what the culture might say or think.
Now, was the bride price up to the father to determine, or was that up to the judges to determine? Because in other laws, it has it specifically laid out judges. Double, five
you
times.
You know what? I'm going to be straight with you, David Wally. I don't really know.
Okay.
I think that actually the bride price was variable. I think it was set by the father, but according to certain customs and norms. Let me just spell it this way. A eligible young woman from a prominent family had a higher bride price than an eligible young woman from an obscure family.
Sure.
So it wasn't all the same in every situation, but I think there were just understood norms for it in the time.
What I really like about that is that God places value on women.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that there is
the culture
value.
Doesn't.
Culture, yeah, but God sees them as valuable, sees them as worthy of, you know, in this particular sense, the virgin is worthy of a price to pay, and it's a high price.
Yes.
I mean, it's a very high price.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just feel like there's something lacking in our culture when so many women, young or otherwise, feel that they don't have value. Mm-hmm. And I mean, again, I don't want to sound crude about it, but they give away their bodies pretty easily.
Yeah.
And you just feel that there must be some kind of emptiness inside that just kind of says, I'm not worth much. Nobody has to work hard or demonstrate responsibility, or much less the commitment of real love, but I'll give myself away pretty easily. It's just, you just kind of want to speak tenderly with the voice of God into those lives and say, you're worth something. You don't have to think of yourself this way. Look at these principles from the Word of God. Verse 17, he shall pay money. And look, it's not just about money. Money is just a way to assign value of something. But the message is, you're valued. Yeah. You have proof. Don't give yourself away so easy. Well, it speaks really powerful by principle to today. You know, look, we admit these laws were for ancient Israel. And there's a sense in which these laws don't make sense outside of a culture that practices the dowry and such. But there's principles here that we neglect and ignore to our own peril, just like you read for us there, Nate, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So again, this is something, man, does our culture need to hear this today?
Totally.
Because let's face it, even a lot of people who name the name of Jesus, they attend our churches, they're Christians. For some reason, they think that God doesn't have anything to say to them about their sexual behavior. But, I mean, what would we say to them in response? We'd say...
Yeah, he does. He cares. He sees. And it's not something to be thrown away.
No. Very much so. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess maybe just to close this little section, I can imagine somebody hearing these two verses from Exodus chapter 22, and they're feeling shamed. And we'd say, listen, the answer to your shame is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, so you've messed it up before. So you've failed, or you haven't measured the mark. Not in your own eyes, maybe not in the eyes of people around you, and especially not in the eyes of God. You know, there is an answer, and Jesus Christ can rescue.
And I also say, you know, for someone who has given their virginity, Jesus has paid the bride price.
Yes.
You know, by his blood, he's saying, you know what? Yes. Even if this guy or if this gal or whatever it is doesn't want you, I want you.
In Jesus, mm-hmm. worth can be restored. Exactly. It really can. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a permanent loss. Worth can be restored, but it has to be restored in Jesus.
Right.
That's right. Very good. All right, we'll pause here and pick it up next time.